Brethren, please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18, reading verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. I think the King James Version says, and not to faint. So let's turn in the same book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 11, still, reading from verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's jump to verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Verse 12. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading verse 17 to 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So with these passages, I'm sure you can make a guess on what the title of the sermon is going to be. It's about prayer. We all know about prayer. Oh, we know prayer. So it's not a new title or not a new topic. But I just want to share a certain perspectives with you about prayer. So therefore, the title of my sermon is, Can't Pray? Then praise. I take it again. Can't pray? Then praise. Now, definition of prayer. Prayer is communication with God, which encompasses adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But unfortunately, many believers usually consider the last aspect as prayer, supplication. Supplication means what? Making a request or begging for something earnestly or humbly. And part of the sections that I have is wrong notions about prayer. A lot of believers have wrong notions about prayer. That is why sometimes it appears as if we can't pray. Now, a longer version of the sermon title is, If You Can't Pray, Then Praise. Okay? So that is the full version of the title of the sermon. And what is praise? Praise is an expression of admiration and gratitude to God. It focuses on who God is and what He has done. So the major perspective I want to share with us is simply that let us not see prayer just meaning asking God for something. Even if when you don't know what to ask, just telling God who He is alone is prayer. In fact, let me share a joke with you. Normally, when I want to eat, my prayer usually comprises thanking God for the provision of the food, asking God for blessing of God on the food, asking God to provide for those in need, and then asking God for the food to nourish my body. Four components. But sometimes, you know, you can feel so hungry. And as if the moment you see food, you want to put it directly in your tummy. So at that moment, my prayer is very simple. I receive this food with thanksgiving. Sefini. But that's prayer too. Apostle Paul said, once you give thanks, the food is already blessed. I remember when Jesus multiplied that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What was his prayer? He only gave thanks to God. And the food was multiplied. So, brethren, there are moments in life when prayer seems difficult, especially when you have the perspective that prayer is all about supplication, making requests, begging God for something. Prayer can look difficult or become difficult, whether due to discouragement, sin, spiritual dryness, or maybe unanswered prayers. Different things can make us to be in a state or in a state of not feeling like praying. So let's look at, okay, now the specific purpose statement for this sermon is to encourage us that when we struggle with prayer, we can turn to praise as a means of reconnecting with God and rekindling our spiritual fire. And let's look at some wrong notions about prayer. Some of us see prayer as a transaction. That is to say, prayer is a way to get what we want from God rather than a relationship with Him. So, one wrong notion about prayer is seeing prayer as a transaction. Father, give me this, give me that. It's a wrong notion about prayer. It is part of it, yes. Another wrong notion is sometimes we feel prayer is only for the righteous. You know, the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to God. Yet, the Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 1:18, come, let us reason together. Let's go there and read. Isaiah 1:16-18. Isaiah chapter 1. Reading verse 16-18. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So let us not see prayer as if it is for the righteous. You know, sometimes we feel that we have done some things that appear to be sinful. But you know that in the book of, I think, 1 John, that our God is faithful to forgive every unrighteousness if we come to him and confess anyway. So we shouldn't see our God as a father that make a sledgehammer to fall on the head of those that offend him. No. Our God is merciful. So let's not look ourselves disqualified to approach God in prayer because we felt we have done something to disappoint God. Our God is always ready. Look at the prayer model that Jesus gave from the way we read in the book of Luke, chapter 11. And that same prayer pattern was also given in Matthew chapter 6. When you look at that prayer pattern that God Jesus gave, you will see all those four essential ingredients of prayer. It's not all about asking. Another wrong notion is prayer is always about supplication, which I've already said before. And another one is some believe prayer must be formal, using fancy words or certain religious languages and so on and so forth. In fact, from where I came from, some people believe until you shout before you know you are praying. In fact, some people have cultivated that pattern of shouting before they know that they are praying. No. Even a silent prayer in your heart, God hears it. A good example is Hannah. So we'll look at that later. Then another wrong notion is some assume if God is silent, prayer is useless. Maybe you have been praying to God over certain things, and it seems as if God has not answered. It seems as if God is silent about it. It seems as if God has not even heard the prayer. You have paid for it over the weeks, over the month, even over the years. That can make us to begin to think again. What's the point? God is not listening. God is not answering. Why should I bother anymore? This is a wrong notion. Even in the silence of God, God is speaking. If only you listen to your heart. The Spirit of God in us is always ministering to us. Even in the seemingly silence of God, God is speaking. He might be speaking to you through the sermons you are hearing. Maybe those things are countering what you had in mind. Because sometimes we have a particular expectation of how we want God to answer our prayers. And if God is not taking that channel, so we felt he has not answered our prayer. Even a silence might be an answer to your prayer. So let's look at the correct notions about prayer now. So prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's a communication. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Matthew 6. So I just want us to look at something that Jesus said. In this passage too, the model prayer is also there. But that's not what I want us to see. Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So don't say because God has not answered the prayer, you now begin to make a vain repetition. Some people believe that. For example, in Islam, they use rosary to count how many times they utter certain prayers, thinking that is how prayers will be answered. But Jesus is telling us, no, it is people that don't believe that do that. For those that are his disciple, that shouldn't be our pattern of prayer. Don't think because you are repeating a certain word, that is what will make God to answer your prayer. No. God knows what we need even before we ask. Him asking us to pray to him is just to show our humility and dependence on him. Another correct notion is prayer should be a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. Let's look at, okay, we have read 1 Thessalonians 5:17 before. And what did we see there? Pray without ceasing. Even if you have been praying and asking for one particular thing over the years, don't stop. Until you are very sure about what God is telling you as a response or answer to that prayer. Don't give up. Even Jesus Christ encouraged us in Luke 18. We should always pray and not lose heart and not faint. Another correct notion is this. Prayer is not just about needs, but worship. Look at what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6. Prayer is actually an act of worship. And now, as a mathematician, I think there's a formula we can easily remember anytime we think about prayer. And that formula is A-C-T-S. Acts. Acts. A-C-T-S. Our prayer should comprise adoration, confession. I'll talk more about that. Thanksgiving. And then supplication. Acts. So if this is the only thing you can remember from this sermon, so be it. So that when you are feeling overwhelmed as if you can't pray, yeah, that's not really true. You can pray. You only feel that way because you are looking at prayer as only about supplication. If you always remind yourself that prayer is about giving adoration to God, confessing to God who he is. Now, when we hear about confession, our mind always goes to what? Sin. Confession is not about sin. Confession can also be an affirmation of our faith in God. Even if you look at the dictionary, you will see those two definitions there. Confession is about telling what you have done wrong. And confession is also an affirmation of your faith. Saying, confirming. Confession can also be confirming your faith in God. Telling God who he is. So, brethren, let's always remember this formula for prayer. Acts. And it's going to help us a lot. And there will be no moment that we feel like we can't pray. Remember, we feel like we can't pray simply because we have always thought of prayer as being supplication, supplication, and supplication only. Now let's look at, okay, finally, the correct notion about prayer. God hears even silent prayer. Now quickly, let's look at the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, to look at the example of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. She was pouring her heart to God, but silently. Nobody heard her. But God, who she was praying to, heard. The silent prayer in your heart, God hears it. So, brethren, let us not always condemn ourselves as if we cannot pray. Now, let's look at a biblical example of those who praised as prayer. Example of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts 16, verses 25 to 26. Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. When you consider the wordings of the hymns we sing, they contain prayers. Even if it is hymns you can sing, you are praying, brethren. The event that happened here, we know the story. Paul and Silas were imprisoned. For what? For no crime. And the offense they committed was they were speaking about God. They were preaching the gospel. And instead of them to feel dejected, depressed, because they were imprisoned for no crime, what did they do? They were singing hymns. Verse 25 again. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Power of praise. So let's look at example of Jehoshaphat in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 20 to 23. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Reading verses 20 to 23. At this time, the people of Israel, they faced a battle that was overwhelming, and they felt, we cannot fight this battle with our strength, with our weapons. We only need to depend on God. So verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they were out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. God caused confusion in the midst of the enemies because they praised him. Remember, praise is prayer. Just telling God who he is prayer. So let's look at Job. Now, concerning Job, I want us to look at three sequence of events in the life of Job. And it can happen to any one of us. So let's see what happened in that sequence of events. Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Job 1, reading from verse 20 to 21. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. We know the background of this. In one single day, different calamities befell Job. He lost all his business. He lost all his children. And upon all, he became infected with sores all over his body. In one single day, three different great calamities. And what did he do? He worshipped. 21, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 22, in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. This is the beginning of the problem. Now, certain times after, let's look at what happened. Job chapter 30, verse 20. Job chapter 30, verse 20. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you regard me. Let's read further. But you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you oppose me. You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride on it. You spoil my success. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed to all living. Look at it. At the beginning of the calamity, his faith was very strong. It is God who gave, and it is God who has taken. Glory be to God. But over time, the problem refused to go, especially the sores all over his body. At least, even if you lost some people, children or parents or whatever, over time you forget about it. But when you have been afflicted with sickness, every blessed day, he was scratching his body with pieces of pot. And he kept crying to God. Look at verse 20. I cry out to you, but you do not answer me. This moment appears like the silence of God. And look at the things Job was talking. Look at what he said at the beginning of the calamity. Look at what he said at this stage of the calamity. Because the calamity persisted. It refused to go. It appears as if God is not even hearing me anymore. But at the end, let's see the sequence of events again. In chapter 42 of the same book of Job. Chapter 42, verses 1 to 8. Now, before this chapter 42, if you read from chapter 40, from chapter 38, God began to question Job. So many questions that were mind-boggling. But at the end, let's look at what Job said in chapter 42, reading verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Those are part of the questions God asked him. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. He was telling God what God told him. Verse 5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. 7, and so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Verse 8, now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. You see, when we encounter God, knowing who he is, we will have confidence that yes, God has answered our prayer. So look at the sequence of events. It could have been you and me. Maybe at the beginning of a particular event in our life, our faith was still very strong. I know God will bring me out of this. But time is passing. No change. Nothing happened. And then we begin to say and begin to complain instead of still acknowledging and confessing to God who he is. Our utterances now comprise complaint, complaint, complaint. But as we can see at the end, Job acknowledged that no one can query God. No one can even answer when God questions you, because he knows all things. What kind of answer do you want to give to the omnipotent, the omniscient God that knows all things and have all powers? So let's look at how praise can transform our spiritual lives. Praise shifts our focus from ourselves to God. When you think about prayer as supplication and supplication only, our focus is on us. But when you change that focus and remember that prayer is acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, you are turning attention away from you to God. And God will be glad and happy to answer you, to even answer beyond your asking. Praise invites God's presence to our life and whatever we do, according to his will anyway. Praise renews our strength. Let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Isaiah 61 verse 3. To console all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's what praise can do. Praise can turn our mourning, our weeping, into joy and gladness. Praise restores our faith in God. Remember, when you confirm to God who he is, it strengthens our faith more. And we can be sure God will answer us as it did for Job, for Paul and Silas, even for Hannah. So let's look at practical steps to praise when it appears you can't pray. Number one, you can read and sing psalms. You know that psalms is all about songs. In fact, a literal meaning of psalm is songs. You can read it, and there are some songs that were based on the book of Psalm. So you can pick up your hymn now. You can request a copy so that you can have it with you always, even at home. There are so many copies of this hymn now at the home office. So you can request, in fact, you don't even need hard copy these days. We have it as app. There may be some songs that you don't know the tune. In the app, the tune is there. You can sing along. So brethren, let us not always have this feeling of, I can't pray. We can. The reason you are feeling that way is simply because you have misunderstood prayer to mean supplication and supplication only. This is a wrong notion. You can listen to worship songs and let the songs of faith fill your mind, especially those of us that drive. From your car, you can be playing gospel music. And be careful the kind of gospel music, okay? Because most gospel music today, they are just for entertainment. Most of the songs we sing in our homes, they are ancient. They are full of messages. But contemporary so-called gospel music, we need to be careful. You can declare God's goodness aloud, even when feeling not aligned. Speaking His truth strengthens our faith. Thank God for past victories. Recounting what God has done can fuel our trust for the present moments or for the present unpalatable events in our life. Engage in corporate worship. That is why the book of Hebrews encourages us to not forsake the assembly of brethren. Don't isolate yourself, even if you are going through challenges. When we start with praise, our hearts is aligned to God. Even if you don't make any request, it's good, it's okay, it's still prayer. Praise rekindles our spiritual passion, making prayer to become natural again to us. Summary: many believers struggle to pray due to discouragements, sin, spiritual dryness, or even a misconception about what prayer is. Wrong ideas about prayer hinder our approach to God. Praise is a powerful alternative when prayer feels impossible. Biblical examples show that praise can break chains, bring victories, and transform hearts. And then we have seen several steps we can take to praise. And conclusion, when you find it hard to pray, shift to praising God. Praise can open the door for renewed strength, deeper faith, and restored prayer life by singing, meditating on God's goodness, and so on and so forth. Spend time in praise daily when you don't feel like praying. And let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of olive may fail, and of fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hill. So when things appear as if nothing is working, God is not answering prayer. It's just our feeling. And it's because we are focusing so much on our needs. But rather, let's return the focus to God. So brethren, if you feel like you can't pray, then praise.